Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm CG Wolf.
And today we have returning guest Chris Kelly.
Hi, everybody. Good to see you guys. What was that? Was that your new call?
I'm developing a range of calls, a spectrum of calls for whatever adventure we go on next. And yeah, you got a little preview of the remix.
So Chris is our Bigfoot enthusiast, although he's really an expert. He just doesn't like to call himself an expert. Humble. And the last time we went on another expedition and CG finally made a good, you made a lot of good calls. You really brought it from the diaphragm. I feel like he redeemed himself.
Yes, absolutely. Very manly call. I don't know if your viewers remember, there was his first call. I liked it and I applauded him for it. It was quite a whisper. It was almost like he lost his voice. You know, I just chalk it up to being a little nervous, but you really made up for it this time.
Yes. It's not often that I feel like less of a man around other men. And then that day I did. And then for months it haunted me. It haunted my dreams. And so when I came back, I was like, I gotta do this.
You manned up. That call was full of testosterone.
I called from my balls, from deep in my loins,
you did.
Where
I had
mustered it from.
Beautiful.
And you know, I had trouble walking the next few days afterwards. It was
he won my heart again with that call. I was like, yes.
Yes, he's back.
That guy.
And then Vince had it first time.
Yeah.
He pulled out the man juices first time.
He did. It was so manly. I had to bring a squeegee from the trunk of the car just to get all the semen off. It was something.
Vincent
else.
Really gave it his all. You know, I have to say, and like when it was your idea to run up to the hill alone into the woods.
Terrifying.
I was very scared. I couldn't run because I still walk with the cane. And I heard something and came hobbling back quickly. But then, yes, CG went up. Vincent went up. I don't think Sam did by herself.
No, Sam was not having that. But all the men were manly and they ran up that trail. And let me tell you, running into the darkness while you're on an expedition for Bigfoot, it could sound easy from where you're all sitting, but it's not. It's terrifying.
I didn't run. I did not muster the courage to run yet. I might have to do that next time if it sticks with me like the last one did. I might have to do it next time. But you guys really manned up and ran into the woods.
I sprinted with my short legs, my leprechaun legs, and I was after it.
I was feel terrified. Like with how aggressive we go into these things, we are bound to get attacked.
No.
We are bound. I mean, we are doing it the most aggressive possible.
No. We're not way more aggressive.
We're not inviting them. We are attacking. And it's a fool's errand.
I disagree. I think because I set an intention and put healing energy around us, I believe Sasquatch, the community, that they know we come in peace. We're here to explore. We make a lot of fun calls because we want to hear back from them. And I will say, when we went to another location, we did four locations total. So with the second location, there was a moment where you two went up that hill by yourselves. Mm-hmm. I stayed back with Sam and Vincent. Sam had your ultra mega cool flashlight where you can see very far. It's a very mm-hmm. fancy one.
90,000 lumens.
Yes, I don't know what that means, it's good.
80,000 lumens?
90,000 lumens.
90,000.
That's what it said on the package.
What does that mean?
That is some serious shit. I don't care what it means.
It does. It sounds badass. That's the bottom line.
That's why you keep saying it, because you said it about 12 times out there on the expedition. How many lumens it had, and it was charging me up, man. It was getting me amped up, man.
You can see into space with that flashlight. I've taken down 747s with that.
It's a very impressive, great flashlight. We probably need some more to continue on these expeditions, especially because Sam is shining the light in there, and then her and Vincent think that they're seeing something, right? I can't see it because in panic states, I can't land on the object. It happened when the big, what was it, like F3 tornado came through University of Maryland. It was right in front of me, but I ran to the window to see it, but it was to my right, and we all had to run to the basement because like we could hear it. So in panic situations, it's hard for me to land on an object. So I did not see what they saw. And I know
I've never heard of that before. Is that like a kind of dementia?
No, that's rude.
No, I'm just asking. Is that like a diagnosable?
No, it like saves me. Like maybe if I saw it, I'd pass out. If I saw the tornado, I might like, you know, I have anxiety stuff. So it could like fuck up my whole system or something. Yeah. So I can't land, I think, out of a defense mechanism. And because I'm too panicked, if I took a breath to look for the tornado, I could have, but I didn't know how close it was. Everyone was screaming, tornado, get to the basement. And I decided that was more important than making eye contact with the tornado. And then I was looking for the Sasquatch that I think Sam and Vincent saw. Right. I know Sam now isn't quite sure.
Well, what I'll tell she that saw, story.
But they both saw something. And the next thing I know is Sam was running and I started running with her, and I have a cane. I'm not a really good runner at this point, but
that's what's dope. When I saw her running, then I was like, some shit's going down. I don't know what's going down exactly, but when someone charges out of the situation, some shit's going down.
And you guys were coming back from having walked up. So she ran with the flashlight. I followed her. She got in her car. I didn't feel the need to get in my car. I realized, okay, we're safe. You know what I mean? Like whatever happened, nothing's actively chasing us. Right. And then Sam didn't get out of her car again.
No.
Vincent did, because we went to another location, but they definitely thought that they saw something. Sam's not so sure now. I understand and respect, you know, sometimes people see something and they say, am I crazy? Am I making that up? And I think that's normal.
What you did the first time you saw my penis, remember? Oh my God, like, this can't be real. You were like, this can't be, that couldn't have just happened.
I got to tell you, that was well played. You couldn't have placed that joke anywhere else.
It actually got me. I didn't see my that one.
I did not see that coming, but I'll tell you, she did. Oh my God. Holy shit. It's unbelievable. Can I retell this story? Because I interviewed these two characters.
Yeah. Yes. Please do. Yeah.
So it's such a good interview too.
And Sam's your daughter. Let me say
Sam
that.
Sam's my daughter. Right.
And you are a professional interviewer. Wait.
I could
be. You don't get paid, but you are an expert interviewer.
I would agree.
An enthusiast.
An interview enthusiast.
You've done 10,000 interviews of Bigfoot victims.
That's a big number, CJ.
Listen, I'm throwing out made up numbers here. I know that you've interviewed a lot of people. I like to show the audience the numbers, bro. I'm a numbers guy.
I interview a lot of people. Let's put it that
okay,
way.
Okay, cool.
All right.
I'm ready.
So I asked them to tell me the story. I went over by their apartment and all right. So before I even start this, when it comes to Bigfoot encounters and then people documenting them and being interviewed, like just like a serial killer with the FBI, like there's profile points, like the type of character that kills people. Right. Well, there's profile points of an encounter and there's so many similarities. So I'll tell the story and then I'll hit the points that I've heard hundreds of times. And I say hundreds because if you listen to these podcasts, and there's many of them on Sasquatch, you'll hear thousands of people tell the same story over and over and over. And that's why people are like, there's no evidence. There's tons of anecdotal evidence out there. And these experiences, these people cannot all be in concert trying to fool the world. They don't know each other from all over the world. So that said, so what they told me was, Samantha said, I felt like if I was, and by the way, my daughter's 100% skeptic, does not believe in Bigfoot, makes fun of me for the last 20 years. So she said she was standing by the rocks down at the bottom of the hill with, and Vincent was close by. And she said, if I was going to see something, I felt like it was now. And she started scanning the woods and she scanned this group of rocks that were in front of her about 15 feet away. And she scanned it once and then she scanned it again. But this time when she went back the second time, it looked like there was a dirty rock, like an old dirty rock, brown. And it was like 2 or 3 feet high, right? Let's say 2.5 feet. So she said, she called Vincent and said, hey, am I seeing something? Vincent, come over here. So she's looking. And now she said that this thing was sitting on the ground with its arms around its knees, perpendicular to them. So in other words, a side view of this thing. And she said she could make out that it had long flowing hair. It looked like CGI. And it was the face. Oh, the face turned and she could see the eyes, but they were squinting from the light. And she said it looked like an ape. Okay. And it said, she said it had peanut butter colored face and the hair was black and brown. Right. And Vincent didn't see the face, but saw the figure itself, said he definitely saw it. He said, and they both agreed that they saw muscles underneath the hair, like defined muscles. But we're talking, this thing was probably only a couple feet, like, you know, crunched over. It was a couple feet, like maybe 3 feet. So, all right. So when she tells me this detailed story, and I wish I could show you the interview, but it's just incredible. And then after she's done, she says, you know what? I don't know if I saw anything. And I said to her, you know, that's a pretty detailed account for seeing nothing. It doesn't make any sense. She saw something, right?
Right.
So I've heard these stories over and over, and I always say it, like Bigfoot, they will try to hide in plain sight. And I just heard a recent thing on Sasquatch Chronicles where there was a whole family of, there was a family of campers and they were behind a rock and they saw a family of Bigfoot. Actually, there was a deer that came crippled out of the woods that was being killed. And then a Bigfoot came out, the father, the giant one, killed it. And this is really an amazing story, too. And there is a link to it. But the family came out, two kids and a female and a male. They all sat down around the deer and they put their hands on it. Kate, I thought you'd love that. I didn't get a chance to tell you that story. But as if the guy said it was as if they were praying for it. Like, it's really strange. They
like
heard
an avatar.
AWOL.
Yeah.
You got to give it back to AWOL.
Well,
the Bigfoots know.
It's honoring the light.
Have you seen Avatar, Chris?
No, I haven't.
It's such a good movie. So it's honoring the life that you just took. And then it's giving it back to the planet, Mother Earth. It's AWOL, an avatar. That's their planet. But the soul of the planet. But yes, it's very similar. It's an honoring of the life they took. Because that's understanding.
That's the impression that man had, that they were grateful for it. Like they were respecting it. So all of a sudden one of the kids, the juveniles, saw the daughter, the human daughter. And then all of a sudden she made a strange call that the guy had never heard before, but it was a strange call, then whistled. Then the father turned towards these two. And she said, the guy described, he said, this thing, they were 75 feet away. It moved so fast, it was almost like a time warp in a movie. It just showed up like instantly, but it was 75 feet and it got in front of them and screamed so loud, like you picture the Memorex commercial with the hair blowing back, right? See, the guy said, we were so terrified. They just were able to walk away. But before he took off to run towards them, the female, which I've heard this over and over, the female started talking to him in chatter. As if the guy said the impression was she was yelling at him not to hurt them.
That's
and
good.
I've heard that over and over. That's what they do. They communicate. It's just amazing. So I'm linking this because Sam, it's denial. Like she just is now denying some, because we don't want to believe it. People that tell these stories are like, listen, I wet my pants, you know, or I shit my pants. And I don't want this to have happened to me. People think it's exciting. My whole worldview has now upside down. So many people will deny it and just put it away, you know, and never talk about it again.
They don't know if their mind's playing tricks on them, right? You know, and I can understand that, because if you have reality set up a certain way in your head, it can be very hard to say, yeah, everything I thought I knew is actually wrong. No, I don't want to say everything is wrong, but in the sense of Bigfoot existing and who knows what else, it can really freak out a lot of people.
Yes.
For me, it's very exciting to know that there's way more magic and dimensionality to all of this. And then the other question is, why are they being hidden? I do think the government knows. I think they really do. They've heard all the stories, but this is an enlightened species that's fighting for the planet. And the government doesn't always go with what's best for the community and the planet. They have their own agenda often, and I won't even disagree with all of their agendas. However, I think it's part of why it's being denied, And maybe they don't want the masses to freak out, but the truth is the Sasquatch community, you know, they're not looking for trouble. They're looking to just exist and to also help save the planet.
Right. That's, yeah, that's what
I mean, maybe some of them will fuck with you.
Yeah.
You know, if they're sensing a human that deserves to be fucked with, you know, right. They feel people's energy fields.
Yeah.
But I am definitely team Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Unless they fuck with us. But it sounds like from all of our interactions, they're very cautiously making their presence known for a reason. And I don't feel threatened. I feel like we're making connections slowly with them. That's how it feels on my end.
I agree. I think that was playful, that the juvenile was showing itself, and then disappeared. They said they looked away for a second and it vanished, basically.
Furry rock was, you know, even if they thought it was a furry rock, it was gone. So.
Right. It was gone. It's amazing. So it's just so interesting to experience this stuff. And we've had such a run of luck together as a group. It's unbelievable because it's not typical. That's not my experience. I'm out there yelling and hooting and hollering. I get nothing. You know, I bring in the Yiddish caller and all of a sudden, an ongoing contact.
Yeah, I don't even know. Even when I do my calls, they don't get picked up by the mic. It's another frequency, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like our group, first of all, we have spiritual intentions. You know, we're entering energetically, cautiously. I put some Kabbalistic healing energies around us. So maybe they're feeling that as well. And just, yeah, they're feeling, I think, how our group doesn't want to hurt them. Like, we're really curious and want to make contact and understand what they're about. So I think it's exciting. And Sam and Vincent's energy is also just very playful, exciting. Yeah. You have a great big energy. I think they like the group's energy.
I do too.
And yeah, I would say I'm definitely the black sheep of the group.
Why would you say
your
that?
Your guys' power, you know, your guys' good vibes kind of blocks that out. I'd say no, of the personalities, it's a very good vibes thing. I would say I'm the bottom of the totem pole for this group.
But why do you say that?
That works for me.
Why is it?
You're better people than me. You're better people.
there's a whole other episode that we
could. Oh my God.
Wow.
Just in general.
Our audience knows.
If our audience has listened to a few podcasts, they know that I'm the worst person, especially on the podcast right now. And then, you know, Sam and Vincent are great. They're probably better than us, younger, fresher, you know, so.
Oh, I don't think so.
No, so I'll take that, man. That's why I'll hold the camera.
You do a hell of a job, and you're tall. What are you, 6'9"? What is it?
He's 6'6".
I'm not fucking Shaquille O'Neal. I'm like six.
Hey, take it easy. It's a compliment coming from a little person.
Oh. Aren't you 5'10"?
I'm 5'9".
Okay, yeah.
No. All right, it's 5'8¾". But listen, I'm shrinking. I'm getting old. I'm 74 years old.
You can say 5'9" if you got the 3/4.
I'm just going to say it. You know, I'm 5'9".
There's no getting into and telling like 1/4 inches and fractions of inches. Like don't do all that. If yours is a half, you can pick either direction.
Okay.
I think, and it's fair, and I think you should probably pick up.
I would say so.
But then the 3/4, like you're there.
You're there.
You're not lying to anyone.
You know, you're just a little platform away.
Exactly.
I want to say, the diner experience
that
we met before going out into the woods was also funny because Chris told everyone.
We should have filmed that.
I know. Chris was telling the wait staff that we were about to go search for Bigfoot, and they thought you were fucking with them at first.
Yeah, actually happened was Chris told us to meet at this pub, and there were going to be 8 people, and none of these 8 people were going to be eating dinner. So we need an 8 top at a crowded pub. And so Chris went in and he said, hey, we're in Bigfoot expedition and we, you know, we're not going to eat. I forget what you said. We all need coffee, something like that. We're just going to need coffees. But, you know, this is really important. And you somehow got them so whisked into the excitement that they didn't care of all the money they were losing with that 8 top that we took to not eat any food.
Exactly. They're taking
that was pictures. Amazing, dog.
Yeah, that was amazing. It was amazing. And we got a great location to go see, but that was just fun. And I said, you know, well, and I took home the free scones. You know what I mean? It was a good move. I always have a Tupperware in the trunk for opportunities like that.
They brought us scones. Yeah, you asked for, what do you ask for?
I said like muffins or something. I felt bad. Buy something. We
you
just
said, I want something. Can we get a round of blueberry muffins? They were like, we're not a fucking blueberry muffin. It's a pub.
It's a pub. Like, this is easy.
But then they came with scones. For some reason, they had fresh baked scones at this.
Yeah.
They look good. They looked real good.
They really did.
I can't. I feel like you can talk the panties off of women, too. Like, are you, is that how you get women, too? No.
Oh, not at all. Nope. Nope. I connect cerebrally. That's it. And I have a girlfriend, so I don't, that's not something I partake in.
I just meant in history.
Oh, in history.
In history,
well,
not like right at this. At
I will
this
say therapy is
dropping panties. I'm just saying in history, I feel like the way you did that, the way that you did that move and made us look like stars instead of hobos, I don't know how you did that. It's like some sort of magic
However,
trick.
Sam and Vincent are stars. So like
hey,
once they
don't steal
came,
my thunder. Don't you steal my thunder.
Well,
this was before they came, though. This was before they came.
Yes, this
it
was before
exactly.
they came.
Thank
but then
you,
when
too.
they came, people were actually like, oh, wow. Like
Right,
people
right.
were like, oh, these people aren't just pieces of shit. Like
this isn't just some clown with a Bigfoot necklace. Wow. There's somebody important in this room. Whatever. Whatever. I'm doing the best I can.
That was great because
It
I
was
like
great. It was a
I felt like at the end of it we might be kind of like, uh-oh, they got what happened and they just got had. But then when Sam and Vincent showed up and they were like, no, this is really cool, then I was like, got them. So yeah, that was a great experience, man.
Before we left, we got a nice group picture. I wish
yeah.
I could get that picture.
We
honestly.
need that picture.
Who took that? Oh, from the people. Well, we got to go back there. Can you imagine?
It was one of your waitress friends.
To tell them the story. They're going to freak out.
We promised we would come back. So
well,
we have to. And I mean, there's just a lot of activity on Clinton Road. So we will obviously make our way back there.
Right.
Look
it
I
up,
left
folks.
My cane. I had to get a new cane. I left my cane at our final stop, that old cemetery.
There's a meaning behind that.
The spirits, yes. The spirits took my cane.
Huh.
So I was wondering why. But hey, they can have what they want. I just want to get in good with them, you know?
I want to go back to the pub and talk to our waitress because, you know, even though she couldn't pay her water bill that month because of the eight top that we took, I still want to give her the story.
I tipped her well, man. You know, I gave her $3. No, I seriously, I padded it a little bit. You know,
I know you looked like, yeah, you looked like you were going to take care of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It all
yeah.
worked. So we'll go
that
back.
Was, I did have to attest to your skills after I saw that. I think you're going to be a very handy, helpful person to have around on these conquests.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Conquests? Is that what they are?
I don't know. Something like that. Easy for you to say.
Yeah, it was definitely fun vibes from the start, but CG and I were driving in torrential floods, and then we were going out, and some of the rain that we hit also added to the eerie vibes because it was really coming down.
Yeah, nobody would have gone out. No, I don't think any other researcher in the history of researching would have gone out in those conditions. It was dangerous. Somebody could have really been hurt, and I think it was really irresponsible of you guys to push this thing to keep going. I said,
yeah,
I feel,
and then,
I felt so bad that like they just drove up from Philly. We have to finish this. Trust
right.
me, if you were from Hailden, New Jersey, I was heading home. Done.
And then Chris, you know, brought all four of his children on the conquest. All four of his young children. Three? Four?
They're not that young.
They're grown adults.
Well,
they're,
I mean,
yeah.
They're children to you.
Well, yes.
They're
my
your
children.
Children. You know,
you make it sound like he brought like 4 and 5 year
olds. Like toddlers. I'm changing diapers on the side of Clinton
Yeah,
Road.
Wow. And your sister came for some of it.
Yes. Yeah. She was really happy to meet you guys. Thrilled,
yeah,
actually.
She's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. It was a good
so,
time. So.
Yeah,
yeah.
We definitely had a good time and we're going to go out again. We're not just going to do Bigfoot stuff. I won't give it all away, but we are going to be, as a group, doing more paranormal expeditions.
I'm open to it all. Absolutely. But I just need to get trained up a little with you on how we handle it, how we get clean with the stage, because I don't want any spirits attaching to me. I don't need that shit. I have enough stuff going on in my life.
I will make sure that we are fully protected. And I think for some of them, I'm going to invite, at least when we do our pagan ritual, witchcrafty one, my friend, she's going to help with different protection spells and things like that. But I do a lot of protective magic for us when we go in, and that won't stop. And I have interacted with all sorts of spirits, light, dark, both. And, at this point, I'm not very scared. I mean, I can say that, but then on the actual expedition, I was getting pretty scared, actually, because I think Sam expected me to not be scared at all.
Yeah.
And I was super jumpy, and I almost felt like I was disappointing them, because like, oh, she's...
You're supposed to be the rock, right?
Yeah, and instead they were like, oh, shit, she's like still an erotic Jew in every situation.
There's still nobody stable in our lives, right?
Yeah, I think that's the first time going out in the woods fully at night with rain coming down, and we were really calling on these beings, and we could feel their presence even before Vincent and Sam saw it or didn't see, whatever. You were feeling it behind you in that spot. So
when I was explaining it, when I was explaining it, that I felt something, you know, on my back, and was going to further explain, Chris said, feel this. And then he did a loud, oh, you know, so I lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
But it was an opportune time to do a feel this joke. It was pulled off pretty well. It might've been the best joke.
When you walked,
you really did me dirty.
You really did me dirty. Wow. So when you walked up that trail, did you get the chills or feel like something was going to snatch you up from behind a tree?
Are you talking about when she went up or when I went?
No, when CG, you, I'm sorry.
In the dark?
Yes, in the dark.
You mean you went up in the dark?
Yeah, oh, that's right. I was with you. I guess I wasn't.
Because the other time everybody held the lights on us when we ran out deep.
Right, but then we went.
Yeah, me and you walked out into the actual dark. And yeah, I was definitely feeling something out there.
And that's when Sam.
Yeah, that's kind of when there was a commotion. And we went back, so we didn't get to see. You know, it made me wonder, because we go in, you know, running into the woods, doing really loud Bigfoot calls. What made me wonder was if we like go in kind of silent, what would happen? You know, if it would be a little different. Maybe you need the calls to get the response, stuff like that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I do think, you know, another method maybe to try at some point would be to go in black ops.
Yeah.
Kind of quiet. Then kind of like... Mm-hmm. Because you know that they will feel our presence. You know, animals know what's going on. Whatever Bigfoot is, I don't really know. But, like, they know what's going on in their woods, in their habitat. They know when someone foreign enters it and whatever, maybe what their intentions are. So, like, they know you're there, whether you're doing calls or not, I think, right? Yeah. And so I think there might be another way to – I mean, there could be hundreds of, honestly. But I like the approach we're doing now. I think it's fun as shit. And then I think there are some other ways to try too, but like maybe sitting around and it's dark and there's no flashlights and we're all in the dark.
Oh yeah.
Cause we had lights on the whole time. Cause we were trying to film, you know? So, but I mean, we'd have to figure out how to film that kind of stuff. But yeah, I did think, maybe there are like a bunch of different methods we could try to make something happen.
Absolutely. When these encounters occur, you know, with lights and everything, typically nothing happens. We're having, like, to Kate's point, there's definitely a connection, and it all started with Kittatinny, I think. I think it's all the same range. That doesn't happen typically, but if you go in one or two people, like the best is to go out by yourself, and I won't do that. There's no way. I Bigfoot from the edge of the road, so I could jump in the car and take off at 100 miles an hour. I'm not going deep woods, but there's people that do it. I'm not doing that. The thing snatches me up all of a sudden. I'm tugging on shirt tail. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just scared of like other shit that might bite me. Whatever the fuck.
There's that too. What if a bear, you know, if we run into
mongoose.
A bear.
Boy, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Is a mongoose a thing to be scared of?
Mongoose are venomous, highly venomous.
Yeah, all that's pretty scary to me, which is why I appreciate the way we're approaching it, because I don't need to get bitten by anything. I'm already dragging my fucking foot around.
Right. We're both Lyme. Is it Lyme's or Lyme?
Lyme. Some people say Lyme's disease. Like I've heard both. Lyme disease. But I guess it is usually people say
it's Lyme. It's like when you say the diabetes. I have diabetes.
I don't say that.
I'm just saying when people
I say I have the shugs.
And I was saying to Chris that I feel like, because we both have Lyme disease, which is what comes from ticks of the woods. And I feel like the madness that Lyme's disease has within it could be also pulling us back to the woods. You know, they feel the sickness of this world. And for me, Lyme disease, I feel the sickness in a sense within me, and it connects me to things.
Yeah.
So I think that's another interesting part of all of it. I want to ask CG, because he was very skeptical.
Real quick. Like when people say that they have diabetes, I always want to be like, why are you saying it like that? But they're telling me about like a sickness they have, you know, like an illness.
Yeah,
a periphery. Like I want to pry. I don't like poke at them. Like, why are you saying it like that?
I think you should. I think it's very inquisitive. It shows that you're listening. It's respectful. Diabetes. How do they say it? It sounds wonderful. Say that again.
The diabetes.
Diabetes.
Yeah, when I got the diabetes in 79.
Right. Lost two pinkies.
And so, but I don't want to pry.
And I can make fun of that group because I'm one of them. Look at I got a Libre too.
I know. So you can say it. I don't want to question it because I'm like, this is a person opening themselves up to me and being vulnerable.
Exactly.
And then I don't want to punish them for being vulnerable to me.
You're very aware.
Because I'm a really good, good guy sometimes, emotionally.
I'm impressed. Bigfoot, we're all very emotionally intelligent, and we're researchers. I mean, it's amazing.
Yes.
It's quite a pairing.
Yes. I want to know from CG now. Honestly.
Pairing of many people more than two. Yes.
Like a gaggle.
I think it works.
Go on, Kate. I'm sorry.
Still a pairing of people.
CG, I know that you started very skeptical of whether or not Bigfoot Sasquatch exists. How are you honestly feeling now after having done two excursions? How do you feel truly about it?
He's going to fall.
I don't know, man. I'm just I'm open that it's real. I'm definitely open.
What about Sam and Vincent's encounter? That's nothing.
I don't know if I don't see it. All I know is that I believe another person is not lying to me. Right. And I believe that Sam and Vincent are not lying.
They're not. She doesn't even believe in it.
That's what I'm saying, right? Okay, but
so then doesn't that give you some?
And I can tell, if somebody's lying almost all the time. I think I'm pretty good at that, right?
Okay, so,
if I listen to somebody telling me about it, I know that they are telling me the truth. Okay, so they think they saw something, but I've told people stories about shit that I thought I knew, and it end up not being right. I just thought I knew it, right? So I can't until I really see it myself or. And we did hear some stuff.
Like, what are we talking about? You thought it was a turkey sandwich that turned out to be roast beef? What exactly are we talking about here?
I'm talking about, you know what? It's hard to identify exactly what.
Okay, then. Suddenly we can't come up with examples. I'm not buying this. I'm not buying it at all. You know those kids were scared. She went in the car, locked herself in the car, and wanted to go home.
Most definitely. But, like, I could piss my pants in the woods when I was that age. When I'm this age and think I saw something and
but Sam's also questioning it. So,
but that's part of it. That's a natural response.
I was communicating with them telepathically before even entering at Kittatinny, you know? So right. I completely believe in them, as well as many other paranormal beings that do exist. Yeah. I've been talking about the enlightened aliens before the Pentagon confirmed UFOs and stuff. So I do believe.
I totally don't think it's not real. I'm not one of those people.
It's like a double negative. What are you doing?
I totally don't not think it's real.
You just don't know. You're still.
Is that better?
You're still in the not knowing category.
I'm completely open to it, and it's quite possible it is real. I'm not going to go definitive either way because I have word of mouth. I only have word of mouth, and word of mouth has failed me. The closest people to me who believe that they're telling me the truth, I go later in life, and I'm like, I don't think that's real anymore. You know, so like, I don't know. I can't go by word of mouth. I gotta be there.
You have now, to see it did, yourself.
We did, I'm not saying that necessarily because we heard.
I'm like going to pray for that.
We heard some shit call back to us, you know, on the
Is
first.
That fake?
Okay, and that, you know, seemed pretty legit. But even when I think back to it, I'm like, did I think I heard because I saw other people's eyes light up and them start pointing?
Or
did
I heard I it in actually two different hear? Directions.
I don't remember. I don't remember if I actually heard or if I just see people's eyes lighten up and then I'm looking at them and then I'm thinking I'm a part of this. You know what I mean? The memory doesn't
oh,
come.
You are such a skeptic. Well, we need
it's not
we
that
need,
crisp for
we
me.
We need that negative energy on these excursions. You're
he
like
said
the
he
woman.
Was the, he said he was at the bottom of the totem pole.
Well, you just reinforced it. You just reinforced that little ditty. And I'll tell you another thing. You're like the woman on Finding Bigfoot. I wanted to fight that woman. Do you remember who I'm talking about?
You need that person in your show.
You do, I guess. But
yeah,
you're in the back of the bus.
The person that sucks.
Oh, it's terrible.
You need that person. The person.
I'm all about everyone's on board. What are we doing? And you're like, I don't think so.
No,
I need a body.
I'm not getting in anybody's way. I will try to even call that motherfucker. I will. I'm all in.
But you had
he's been like this.
Oh,
he's
this
been
is
like
so
this
sad.
Because I have psychic abilities. I do tarot readings, and
he wants to level it out.
He respects it, but he also questions it and is skeptical. At this point, he doesn't question it meanly. I think in the beginning, he really did think I was like batshit crazy.
Right.
You know, let me read your tarot cards. I speak to the dead. Like,
I didn't know what had transpired in her life between when we met back up and when I knew her in middle school.
Right.
I thought it could have maybe gone terribly wrong. And so she had some stuff in her head. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know yet. So I had to ask her questions.
Okay.
Now I know that, yes, yeah, some things went wrong, but some things went right.
And I had a lot of crazy stickers on my car too when we first reconnected, of like all the deities, the Hindu deities I was connected
Chris,
to.
Every inch of someone's Honda Elantra or whatever,
Honda Civic
is covered in stickers. Aren't you a little like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, I'm like, that's a colorful person.
I was going through
definitely.
I was expressing vividly, but I have anger.
There wasn't an inch of the car's paint you could see.
I also had very short, like parrot colored hair.
How long ago was this?
Like 5 years ago.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. And he definitely, I mean, he was fucking with me. Like, we were talking.
She was still
hanging.
Hot. She was still hot.
She was still, I'm sure. Of course.
So, like, I still was hanging with her.
But he definitely was, you know, not on board with all of my stuff. And now he's way more than he was, but I've always known, and I always still wanted him on these expeditions because I want people who are not sure. And he's still open-minded. That's all that matters to me. Are you open-minded? Because then when he experiences Bigfoot, other than already of hearing him, it's going to be real. Do you know what I mean? And I believe he will see them because they're already making their presence known. I think I will eventually see them when I won't have a full-on panic attack. And I don't want to because I believe they're coming in friendship.
Right.
So I want to see them when I can stay, not run, take it in, and who knows what can happen. I just don't want to capture them on film if it's going to mean more hell for them. You know, I don't want people flocking to where they live as a way to harass them. So I think they're being very careful as well, because that's the nature of humanity right now. It's like, ooh, something unique that we don't know about. Let's go in, capture them, dissect them. Like, it's a horrific way. So I think, you know, it's all going to go as long as that they're safe and we're safe. But I do think you're going to have a sighting, and that'll be exciting because when we share it, people will know that you didn't.
I want to be
come
the
in
sighting.
Like that.
I want to be the sighting.
Are we back to the American hairless Bigfoot?
I want to be the great American hairless.
Making great America.
I mean, it needs three words in there. The American hairless wasn't quite enough. Great American hairless sounds like a real Bigfoot name. Sounds like a scientist made it up.
It wasn't enough, he says.
So
just,
I want
to
be
to remind the viewers that what's the outfit of the? Oh, I'm sorry. What does it look like? Tell
it's just basically I'm naked with a unibrow. So I just have a little tuft of hair between my, you know, between my eyebrows, and then fur in between my butt cheeks from the bottom under the nuts.
We're talking a 2-inch strip, about 10 inches long. What are we looking at?
I'm talking like a good amount of hair, like, you know, that's, but just the strip, between the butt cheeks, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then that's
it. It'll still be, attached to a 2-inch strip to wrap around the genitalia.
Yeah. It'll be held by the genitals. You know, the whole costume is based on that there's something to hold on to underneath, which are my genitals. And so, it's going to be, I want to be the sighting at least once or twice, but I do want to have a sighting as well.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I think you will.
I think you will. What was I going to say about that with the sightings? Go on. I'm sorry. I lost my train. I thought that I was laughing too much. That was great. I can't wait to see this outfit. You're going to be, for your show, that picture has to be.
We're going to have to make it happen. We might just have to go get you one of those thongs, go to Joann Fabrics and glue some hair or get a wig.
Actual monkey fur. I want actual fur.
Literally.
Gorilla fur, maybe.
Right. Yeah. And then use a heat gun to attach it to your underside, your underbelly. Is that the right word? I don't know.
When this happens, I
was picturing that it's a thong. It's not like glued to my grundle or anything like that. I was picturing no glue, but I guess we can do glue if we have.
Because remember, from a distance, you're going to want something prominent enough that you can say, wow, he's got quite a patch of hair running down his ass crack.
And maybe it goes up my whole spine.
That's my hair. Now you're cooking with fire. I like it. You know?
Yeah. So this is going to be a thing at some point.
The spineless great American. Oh man, that's great. It's going to be a lot of fun. So let's talk about our adventure to Eastern State.
All right. So our next thing is we're going to go to Eastern State Penitentiary. And we are going to explore. We're going to try to see if we can get any ghosts, capture any hauntings, because we're going to go through the self-guided tour and really feel that out. But then they also have like haunted houses. I am terrified.
I love them.
Of haunted houses, but I'm going to go because it's a group and
you'll be behind
me. I want to get some good footage, maybe.
We will clear the way for you.
As a woman, I always felt bad for like a woman, like maybe like a cute woman with a nice body to go in a haunted house because there's like prepubescent. No, I guess they're not prepubescent.
There's a lot of men in there too.
There's a lot of, huh?
There's a lot of men.
No, that's what I mean. It's like
the other patrons too.
It's like creepy 17-year-olds in there, and I'm sure they're copping feels in there.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that they're running around all chubbed up in the background with a chainsaw and a Jason mask. And so for a woman, it's actually a horrifying place.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's entertaining. If I ever got copped, you know, I'll give you a half hour to cut that out, sir. You know.
Yeah, I think if someone gets in my space and I'm terrified, I might physically attack, which isn't something I want to do. Mm. But if someone's really, you know, getting up in there with a chainsaw looking thing, I might give a donkey kick.
Yeah.
So I don't
like that, like
from behind you.
Wherever I need, it could be in front, side, whatever. I have a cane. I'll fucking whack someone.
Anybody's guess where you're gonna
just,
go.
Just to throw this in there, a donkey can only kick backwards. Okay. I just want to let you know that donkey kick can't be all these different directions. If we're gonna be real about this.
Got you.
I'm gonna have to just defer to you on that. I'm not no donkey expert, so I will. Okay.
You know what? Maybe they can. Maybe I just haven't seen.
Who knows? If they're Canadian, maybe they, I don't know. Maybe
the videos are all of them kicking the shit out of somebody behind them.
And that's the view. Right. That's the only view I've ever seen. I haven't seen any frontal kicks.
I'm just going to give a kick.
Superman punches.
A kick. A swift kick. If someone is too up in my shit.
Yeah.
Scaring me. And I'll say, first I'll be like, back up. And if they don't back up, you know, maybe a little headbutting. I don't know, but it's going to be very scary. It's not something I would ever choose. I just wanted to do the self-guided tour, but then it's a whole package. And then there's a vampire lounge. So
And what does
I
that
think
mean?
We're gonna have to go hang. It's a place where you can get food and drinks, but it's like vampire themed.
Yeah.
So that might just be fun to check out. I wish I could dress up as a vampire and then go, but I don't have any like real vampire-y clothes, I don't think.
Are we dressing up? I'm dressing up as Bigfoot. I know that.
Are you gonna dress up?
Oh yeah, I have a Bigfoot suit. It's Halloween, right? So
maybe we need to dress up then.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's have a good time with this. You know what I mean?
I guess we should dress up then.
Why not?
Now we have to if Chris is.
Oh, yeah. I don't care if I'm the odd man out, but I think we all should. It'd be great.
Okay.
It'd just add for more flavor to the whole thing, you know?
Okay.
And Kate, if you headbutt a high schooler, you are going to be so much more hurt than that high schooler.
I know.
I just want you to remember that.
You're assuming that they're all young high schoolers. There's a lot of guys that like carnies that work at carnivals, you know, with the small hands, smell like cabbage. There's a lot of strange men working at carnivals.
Are you sure? I thought it's like the local high school kids.
Not always. I've seen some creepy people in there, man. You know, maybe the manager, something like that.
If you become the manager of that, then you're creepy because you grew old and you're not in high school anymore, but you still work there.
Exactly.
And I don't know how you work there with like bills and a family and stuff like that. Because
the job is more important to him than the family's financial success. And that's what happens.
And it's very much seasonal.
It is. It's the talk about having to make do for the rest of the year. You know, it's not easy.
He's really got to get his nut for that 1 month, man.
He really does. He really does. And he does it by molesting patrons in the corn maze. So anywho. This is going to be a great thing.
This topic is not about paranormal expeditions, and it's going to seem heavy because it is heavy, but I'm just curious, Chris, how do you feel about the death penalty?
What? How do I feel about the death penalty? Are we serious right now?
Yes, this is why. This is why. There was a dude who murdered two women. His name's Wade Wilson, which is the name of Deathpool in the movie. So they called him the Deathpool Killer.
Deadpool,
not Deathpool.
we're so ill-informed. I love it. I love it.
Deathpool. But so
did you say Deathpool?
I said Deathpool accidentally. And he got sentenced to the death penalty.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was pretty extreme just because most murder cases, I don't think, get the death penalty these days. But he has like all these face tattoos and he's tall and handsome. And I think he got the death penalty because there are some girls.
Two separate women. Who do you think they are giving the death penalty to?
I don't know. They don't really give it to that many people these days.
And why are we mentioning that he's tall and handsome?
That's why he got the death penalty, because all these women were like all about him. And I feel like people got so sickened that people were glorifying him that like it was almost backlash.
Oh.
Like, don't glorify this. This is what happens when
that's interesting.
I mean, he does have very scary face tattoos, including a little swastika right there. So, but I was just curious. What do you guys think of the death penalty? I don't even fully know how I feel. I do know that there were some people that got killed that they then later found out were innocent. So I think it's best to not rely on it all the time because, you know, the government can be wrong sometimes. But I'm just curious what you guys think.
You want to go, CJ?
So look, I think the death penalty is a fucking gift compared to life in prison.
I agree.
To be quite honest with you. So like, I wouldn't be appalled at all. Like if I was up there and I was being sentenced, I would much rather get the death penalty than get life in prison.
Got it.
So, cause you just get old, you know, you get old and wrinkly in there, and then new, young, strong killers keep coming in. There's no shortage of them. They keep popping up everywhere and popping in, and you're just, you know, I think it would become a real scary place as you aged.
Aww.
Real scary. I mean, it's usually probably real scary right when you go in. But especially as you age, you become like infirm. You're not tough anymore. Oh, that's got to be a bad
thing. And you're permanently grounded, you know? I mean, that sucks. That's a shit life.
Yeah, so I think it's a gift compared to life in prison. But do I think they should do it? Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it just makes a lot more sense than like paying all this money to house people and feed them for
I think it costs just as
decades.
much to kill them, according to what people say.
Does
but
it?
and there are some prisons that I think are evolving and they're becoming for real like rehabilitation centers. I don't think they're very common, but some of them are, they have a lot of critical therapy practices in there because a lot of these people never had a shot at life. They were always taught violence and hate. So I think in general, prison should go more in that direction. Like some prisoners get like to adopt dogs and like help them become service dogs. I think making
and then
them
that dog is sentenced to life in prison. Poor
right.
bastard.
No, it's not for death row. It's not death row dogs.
I didn't say they were sentenced to death.
Yeah, they're going to prison every day working.
They're going to
no,
prison
they,
not for the rest of their lives.
They get trained usually.
The dog is screwed.
They train them and then they become service dogs elsewhere.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. We just jumped right in with our conclusions.
Although maybe some of the cats and stuff are cat, you know, they are stuck in prison.
Cats should be in prison anyway. You know what I mean?
Cats. That's fine. I love cats.
I am sorry.
He doesn't like cats. Cats are already usually in prison. When you have a pet and you don't let them ever go outside, they're already in prison. So I feel like...
And that's why when you die as the owner of the cat, they eat you. Where dogs don't. Cats will start by eating your nose when you're dead.
Are you sure dogs don't? I feel like a real hungry
dog. No, some dogs will, but specifically Labrador Retrievers will not eat the. They'll die with the person.
I would happily allow a cat I had to eat myself once I died. I don't really care. Once I'm dead, like I don't want my body to be, you know, I don't care if my cat eats it. I don't care. You can then dump me in a hole, plant a tree.
I guess we're not having an open casket if you do that sort of thing. I don't know.
That would be disgusting if I had half my face eaten and they
makeup
still
I mean, unless I'm like, hey kids, you need to see this. We're not getting a cat again. You know what I mean? If I'm just like, they want a cat and I'm
but
like,
don't ask me
we're
for
not
another
doing it
kitty.
Again.
Right.
Let's go to your mom's
room. Not fostering, we're not getting a cat. It's over.
I'm like, okay, Dad, we don't want a cat anymore. Yeah, I feel like that'll work.
Yeah.
But look, I want to go one step further and I want to say if a person serving life in prison asks to be put to death, they should be allowed.
Oh.
To clear out prison space. And just because, like, at some point it becomes cruel and unusual punishment, I feel like just to be.
How do you feel about people who are sick? Because I think they do this now in certain countries, maybe even certain states. If someone's really sick and they want to be euthanized, do you think that they should have that option? I do. I think if someone's really sick and suffering and they want to leave, they should be able to.
These are all great questions and it's complicated. It's not easy to answer them all, you know? Because if it was my kid, now I'm going to be emotionally charged. Like I told my therapist, I fantasize about like with these people that are getting pushed off the subway platform onto the tracks, right? Like I if I could get away with it legally, like, because I would never want to hurt anybody. But when I see that, I get triggered by bullies. So if I could legally sit there on the platform waiting for the guy to push her off, and then I would just destroy him in front of everyone if I could get away with it. So when the rage sets in, like my answer is going to be different. When I'm thoughtful
right.
and philosophical and ethical and I'm sober, I'm going to say, you know, they're sick people. But when in the heat of the moment, when you're thinking about this, like these people don't deserve to live. But then again, making them live is punishment too.
You know, no, but totally. I mean, the society must think that too, that they want to murder that dude too, because we all made the death penalty a rule. You needed.
Right. There's a reason why it's there.
At least half the population to make that shit up.
Right.
And why it's always been there, because they're like, yo, that dude needs to be put down.
Yeah. And some of these stories, how horrific they can be, like diabolical, just crazy evil. Yeah, I'm more apt to say, you know what, the guy doesn't deserve to live. You know, it's not right. But then again, I don't want to be the judge. So it's just complicated. If I had to make the decision, I don't know what I would do.
No,
I know
it is complicated, because honestly, with life in prison, even though I think that's a worse punishment, it could be what the universe needs to put this person right. You know
right.
what I mean? Like for them to have an experience,
right,
and become something greater than they were before. You know what I mean? So
if we were rehabbing people, which we're Kate saying they're trying to, I hope that's true. They do it in other countries successfully, supposedly, but I don't know if they could apply it here.
But no, I mean, I think you could even just being in a dark place, have an epiphany yourself. You know what I mean?
How many do them? I don't know. I don't. That's a great question.
Like, yeah, no, I'm sure you got, you know, some people, you got hard decisions. You can just get more evil and more evil, or you can kind of become some, transcend it somehow. You know, if you're in that situation,
right.
I probably don't think you just would have to become scum. Yeah. It might seem like it, but I would think there's ways to transcend it. And so maybe that was what, you know, some higher power spared them for.
Yeah. You know,
so they could have, right. So they could have something.
Wow. But,
so yeah, it is complicated. Definitely.
It is. How about torturing them for the first few years of prison? You know what I mean? If they were killing children or something, like really torture them for a while and then let up a little bit. They could kind
sometimes of- when it comes to horrific pedophiles who yeah. are murdered,
well,
a lot
there.
Of times they get killed right away.
Oh yeah.
And I don't disagree with that. I feel like when it comes to pedophiles,
yeah,
and I'm not talking like a 20 something year old who had sex with a 17 year old or 16 year old. I'm talking like pedophiles who were touching children and hurting them. You know what I mean? Like they, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have much empathy because if you're able to hurt a little kid who's so innocent, like, it's just like, I think you're a monster. I'm not saying they can't be rehabilitated. That's why I'm not the judge. I just feel like for me, yeah, that I don't have much sympathy for people.
I agree with you. It's a tough subject.
Sorry that I brought up such a dark subject at the end.
No, I'm glad we kept it comedy though.
I'm trying to get a joke in here. I'm just not sure. I wish I could come up with something.
But I had this topic written down for the last like 3 or 4 podcasts. Yeah, and it just never, I don't know, it never
You
felt...
were the lucky one, Chris.
So you had, you had 3 or 4 chances to tell me about it before we did this. That's great.
I think that it's important to talk about these topics, even though, you know, some people are like, oh, this is too deep. I think people should have honest, authentic conversations. And we didn't say that we had the answer. I think we all agreed it's complicated, right. But... I think it's helpful to talk about this stuff, especially when it is with people who can bring levity to it.
Sure.
And, you know, not getting some like really intellectual, like according to the law, that could be interesting too, but I wasn't trying to do all that. It was
well, more that's not possible on this end. So
yeah, you don't have to worry about that. Clientele for that right now.
We're not going too deep.
Possibly could have broken out into that kind of thing.
No, any kind of law matters. Just feelings, all about feelings.
You're inviting the wrong people on this podcast, including your co-host.
Hey, listen, me can read.
Now, Chris, for people who are interested in doing more Sasquatch research, what are the podcasts or websites that you would recommend people go look at who are doubting but interested, or they're kind of starting to believe? Like, what are your favorite books, websites, podcasts that have the best information on Sasquatch?
I'd start. This is where I would start anyway. And there's tons of them that I haven't even explored yet. But my favorite one is Sasquatch Chronicles. Sasquatch Chronicles, run by a guy named Wes. He had his own encounter and he started this podcast. And I think it's just the best one out there. And I think he's on 1,081 episodes. Wow. And each of those has 1 to 2, sometimes 3 guests. So we're talking about thousands of people. Just incredible, incredible stuff. And then the other thing is, which we didn't talk about, I think you and I did though, National Parks 411 with David Politis. David Politis is a retired cop and he's also a Bigfoot researcher. He's in UFOs, but he wrote a book because there's over 1,600 people that have vanished from national parks.
Wow.
And when I say vanished, they weren't, they know that they were not eaten by animals. There's no forensic evidence. They might even, like one gentleman, old elderly gentleman, had a chair and a gun with him, rifle. He was hunting with a group. He disappeared. All of it disappeared. They never found anything. Vanished. So, and that story repeats, and there's clusters.
Maybe.
Whitus is careful to say. He's not saying that. He's just saying something's going on. He does a workshop, a 22 episode workshop on YouTube, David Politis on Bigfoot. So that's really where you can get the basics down. It's really interesting and fun. And then just, you have to, all you have to do is Google it. There's so many podcasts. Expedition Bigfoot's a great television show that's in its, I think it's in its fifth season or fourth, but they're scientific. They're much higher level than Finding Bigfoot, even though that was entertaining. And some of the characters like Cliff Barrickman and James Fay, Bobo, they're legit. Like Matt Moneymaker. Yeah. I personally, you know, it's not my flavor, but, he runs the BFRO. That's a website that is interesting in that you can go on and find all over the United States. You could do it by state where all the sightings and all the counties you live in, and you can see if it's local to you. And they document the sighting. But to your point, Kate, he doesn't allow. So oftentimes with Bigfoot, there's paranormal. The Bigfoot disappears. There's a UFO. There's an orb. There's a lot bright light in it. There's cloaking where the Bigfoot pixelates and disappears. He will not allow any report that mentions any. Well, he'll allow the report about the Bigfoot, but they can't talk about any other detail. And David Pelaez points out, like, how do you take a report and then disregard what they report? That's not real reporting, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not a fan of his. So I think that's a great start anyway to get somebody going.
We went to a barbecue kind of thing. No, it was a barbecue.
No, it was exactly a barbecue.
It was a barbecue. And there was a woman, we said we went Bigfooting, and she was like, why would you go out in New Jersey? Bigfoot is, and she said-
In the Pacific Northwest.
And she thought it was like one Bigfoot. And she obviously thought we were kind of crazy already, so.
Sure.
But I found that interesting. I was like, no, they're all over. There's way more than one.
Right.
She thought we were nuts, but I found that interesting that she's like, you know, they're not in New Jersey. And I was like, actually, they are.
Oh, yes, they are. Pine Barrens, Sussex County, Somerset County. And my reply to that is, it's not like the Tooth Fairy. There's a breeding population. Come on.
Right. And I think there's more than one Tooth Fairy / fairy.
We could have used you at this barbecue, Chris.
Yeah.
Oh, you can. Hey, call me up. Pull up a Zoom real quick. I'll get right into those characters.
Your personality is bigger in person. You in person is better for them.
Okay. Well, then
we'll meet you at the next one.
Absolutely. I'm ready to argue anywhere in church. Anybody, I'll go against anybody. I have no shame. I love
That's good.
It is.
Where can people find you if you want to be found anywhere, or you can just say, nowhere.
You can
in the woods making Bigfoot calls.
I'm happy to you can reach me at ckmakeithappen@gmail.com if you have any questions or you need some direction. I'm on Facebook and hopefully starting a Bigfoot tour company in a few years that you can join.
With that CG and I get to work at.
Absolutely. The bus drivers screaming at the children, don't touch that.
I want to be more like
No, it's going to be amazing. Trust me. We're going to come up with some really interesting, because it's already interesting.
He's going to be the great Bigfoot American zipline. Hairless. The biggest.
Bigfoot zipline.
Right. Yes. And you're one of the actors in this whole play.
Yes.
This is probably, who knows, 10 years out. So I'll be a little older. Who knows?
Maybe realistic enactments.
Exactly.
Done by someone. And who else is going to do it?
Can I be like the girl screaming in the woods?
Yes.
In the enactment? Okay.
Yes, yes. I'm going to be like, at that point, probably, I'll be looking like Wilford Brimley with a cowboy hat on a rascal scooter, all bedazzled up with a megaphone. Yeah. Just criticizing all the workers on the farm, you know?
I want to have one where Kate's screaming in the woods. And when the kids run into the woods, her like brain is open a little bit, like she was scalped. And then, like, it's just Bigfoot's just staring up at you, like, eating.
Right. It puts the lotion in the bed. Bigfoot talks, just like the guy imitates the guy, right? It puts the lotion in the basket. Fuck me. All right. Good time.
Crazy.
It is. We can go with so many little vignettes. It'll just go all different directions.
We really got to get good at, like, you know, effects makeup and stuff like that, because I have some ideas, man.
By then, forget it. We'll have a whole team.
Yes.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us again.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Bye.